And how about you? Why do you work at the University of Cologne? I have been asked this question a lot. My name is Maria Schmitz-Hüser, Head of Recruitment at the University of Cologne, and I focus on how we can approach, attract, and retain interested and suitable colleagues. In the last episode, Christiane Biel told me why she works at the University of Cologne and what her daily business as Deputy Head of the Division International Affairs, Head of the Department International Mobility, and a member of the Senate at the University of Cologne looks like. And now we continue with Pamela Pernis.
Well, I'm a linguist by training, and I actually studied at the University of Cologne. I came here because of the general linguistics program, which really had an eye to linguistic diversity and looking around the world at the different languages and cultures. And I got into sign language linguistics and then stayed with it. And that took me to various other places, including the Netherlands and the UK. But then I came back to the University of Cologne about 6 years ago. I love working in linguistics and in sign language linguistics. And that in some way sums up my academic persona.
How exactly do you describe what you are doing at our university?
A number of years ago, the university decided to establish a bachelor's degree program for sign language interpreting for German and German Sign Language. The state of North Rhine-Westphalia is like really a center for deaf people, basically, or there is just a high concentration of deaf people in this state compared to in Germany as a whole. But there's also a dearth, like just not enough sign language interpreters. So they established a program to help counteract this dearth of interpreters. And although I'm not an interpreter myself, I head the program for sign language interpreting and do research on topics to do with sign language and linguistics, but also psycholinguistics, so psychology of language, processing of language. I do research in various research projects, you know, alongside of heading the degree program.
How did you come to be appointed as a professor at the University of Cologne? And what made you say yes?
The degree program is new. I actually maybe would not have even applied for the job like a few years beforehand because of the fact that it was for sign language interpreting. And I'm not an interpreter myself. My research isn't in the field of interpreting. But then I was talking to a colleague from Magdeburg who reminded me I'd been outside of Germany for so long that I didn't really know the inner workings anymore. And I talked to a colleague in Magdeburg who had reminded me that the interpreting programs or that sign language research in Germany is done primarily, you know, at universities that have sign language interpreting programs, and that the people who head these programs are usually mainly linguists themselves. And so when I saw this job come up, and actually it was also in terms of the timing, and I was in the UK at the time, it kind of coincided with Brexit. So I wasn't actively looking to get out of the UK, but it was a nice kind of confluence of events. So when this job came up, I thought, well, I have to apply. And I always had this love for Cologne from having studied here. Yeah, so it was this, yeah, kind of a perfect confluence of events in the end. And I thought I have to apply. And then it was successful.
And then you got it. Yeah, your main areas of research are very interesting and also socially relevant. Please tell us a little bit more about them.
Yeah, well, I mean, the social relevance, of course, comes also from the interpreting program. So, you know, we are ensuring or doing a part to ensure that deaf people, for their daily lives and for being able to, you know, participate in life and society, to go to events, work a broad range of jobs, which wasn't the case in the past, and also to achieve secondary and tertiary education levels. You know, we're helping to make sure that that is possible for a larger number of deaf people producing, I'll say, sign language interpreters. So that, of course, is, you know, very squarely socially relevant. And then in terms of my research, you know, it's related to linguistics, I mean, which is kind of, you know, basic research, maybe not entirely directly applied and directly socially relevant. But of course, to the extent that it feeds into things like deaf education and also just, you know, awareness of languages, awareness of cultural linguistic diversity, and just, you know, promoting awareness about sign language and deafness in general, and contributing to improvements in deaf education, I think are socially relevant.
Is it difficult to do this kind of research as a hearing person?
Deaf people in the deaf community have always experienced discrimination as well as language deprivation as a result of poor decisions in deaf education and education policies. And as a result, you know, deaf people are not in positions in terms of their education and access to information, you know, to easily get into positions on a level like this at a university. And so it's, you know, I always know that, you know, I am in this position because of hearing privilege. And I always know and try to be aware of the fact that I have a responsibility towards deaf people, the deaf community, to, in ways that are possible and available to me, to somehow remediate and to kind of help build better structures and awareness and accessibility.
You recently received an ERC Synergy grant. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Please explain to us, what does that mean?
The name of the project, or the kind of short name for it, is SHAPE, which refers to object shape, basically. And it's, you know, when we think about our perception of shape, we think, you know, everyone kind of looks at things in the same way and sees things in the same way. But actually, our perception of shape and our ability to categorize things based on shape, like, you know, we see bowls and, you know, we're able to identify things as bowls. You know, what makes us say, you know, this is a bowl, that is a bowl, this other thing is also a bowl, versus this is a bowl, this is a vase, or this is a glass. You know, we have, you know, things that look similar, but yet we have different categories for them. And how things look to us, how we actually visually perceive things, and how we, you know, come to have representations of shape and of objects kind of cognitively in our minds, and then how we talk about these things, like what kinds of things are in our language that somehow encode shape, or where shape is relevant. Like in German, for example, we have to know something about the shape of something in order to be able to say how it's positioned. Like we say that, you know, a book lies on the table, or a book sits on the table, or actually stands on the table, das Buch steht oder liegt auf dem Tisch. And so that means we have to be paying attention to properties about object shape to be able to say that in the right way. Languages across the world differ a lot in the way that shape gets into their grammatical structures and into their lexicon. And so what we're looking at in this Synergy project is this relation between visual perception of object shape, cognitive representation of object shape, and linguistic encoding of object shape, and how they interact and influence each other, like the kind of directionalities of influence across these domains. And so we're looking at 44 different languages across the world, including 4 sign languages. We're looking longitudinally in terms of language acquisition. We're looking at adults and children, and we're hoping to understand these interactions, these influences between these 3 domains.
You were born and raised in a bilingual environment. Does that influence you?
I mean, I guess. I studied linguistics. So, you know, of course, people always say of bilingual children that they have, you know, higher metalinguistic awareness. And so, of course, you know, I spent my early years, you know, already like highly aware of language and differences in language. And I think it must have, you know, I mean, it carried it with me. It influenced my decision to study linguistics. It must have.
Let us have a look at your environment here. Mm. So what makes you happy at work?
Well, I love my colleagues here, and especially, I mean, back to a question from previously, like what made you say yes to come here, especially the environment with respect to linguistics and language sciences and the colleagues here in the language sciences and in linguistics. I mean, it's phenomenal. I love the collegiality. I love just, you know, the stuff that we're working on together, you know, the research that we're doing, the ideas that we're working on together. And also, I mean, I'm in the department for special education, which, you know, doesn't really align with my background. So in a way, I kind of don't fit in there. I mean, I'm there because sign language is always associated, unfortunately, with special education and disability. But even there, you know, I feel comfortable there. I also have wonderful colleagues there. And it's nice, you know, being at a different faculty, also kind of promoting cross-faculty research, cross-faculty issues. So it's a very nice situation of kind of having my foot in both doors, like in the Faculty of Humanities as well as obviously, because I'm actually there in the Faculty of Human Sciences, and then just, you know, interacting with people from so many different backgrounds and disciplines.
And besides of your colleague, is there something special about working at the University of Cologne?
The University of Cologne is a big place, of course. We all know that it's one of the biggest universities in Germany. And, you know, that makes it a big ship to steer, of course. But, you know, everyone just on a like personal level, it's very easy to reach out to people. People are like problem solving for you if you reach out to them with whatever issue you have. So I really feel, I mean, this might also be like a little bit of the Cologne mentality. You know, there's warmth and there's a willingness to help, you know, even an eagerness to help. Like I've always experienced everybody as, you know, very forthcoming. And, you know, I've always been able to solve the problems that I have by reaching out, by finding the people that can help me and then finding solutions for those problems.
You spend half of your life at work, at least half of your life at work. So what has to be in for you so that someday you will be able to say it was worth it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have thought about this question a lot, especially recently, because, you know, I'm getting older. And so I'm, you know, starting to see like kind of the end of, you know, like, or I'm, oh yeah, I'm starting
come on.
To question, not the end, but I'm starting, you can cut that part out. I'm starting to, you know, question seriously, like how I'm spending my time and if I'm spending it in a way that, you know, when I retire or in later years, I will look back on this time and I will look back at my time spent working and think that was time well spent. I did use my time in a way that I'm happy with and I have no regrets. I love research. I love my field. You know, it sounds cliche, but, you know, this thing of like, oh, but it's also my hobby. Like, I would be reading these papers anyway. But, you know, but in a way, it's true because these are just the things that interest you. These are the things that you want to know more about. And so I absolutely love, you know, just learning and moving forward in my field and, you know, kind of creating knowledge, not just for myself, but for the field. And so I will, you know, there can be no regret in that sense. But yeah. But I also just love the variability. You know, I was just focusing on research, but I also, you know, the students, the interaction with students, also PhD students and the university itself, the colleagues at the university, you know, the whole thing. It's so variable. It's so variable. There are so many different tasks and I love the variability. You know, every day is filled with so many different things. It's great.
Today, we've met Pamela Pernis, professor of sign language research and interpreting for German Sign Language at the University of Cologne. And now I would like to ask you, and how about you? Would you like to join us too?